Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilda, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manasseh Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our Bible study, Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in at 7 p.m. 319-527-6204. Praise be to God. And you can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. And we are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. To God be the glory. Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest a breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of its gifts. And that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. At this time, I would like to invite the Holy Spirit to come into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone.
God of my righteousness, you are my righteous God. From you flow mercy, grace, might, and strength. In you exists all I need to live in abundant joy. Your righteousness brings about the beauty we see in one another, the acts of kindness, the moments of intimacy and pure love. None of these are possible apart from you, because goodness and righteousness stems from the core of who you are. I would not know love if it were not for you. So I praise you and honor you for who you truly are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. You are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Friday from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. You can call in your prayer requests at 319-527-6204. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. Amen. I don't know about you, but I have come to worship the Lord. Praise be to God.
I worship you, Lord.
God.
Worship you,
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. God of my righteousness, I confess my unrighteousness to you and acknowledge the guilt of my sin. Where I have wronged others, forgive me. Where I have failed to promote you as King, Lord, and Savior, have mercy on me. Where I have chosen my own desires over yours, grant compassion and guidance to show me the better way. Forgive the pain I have caused others and help them to forgive me as well. Help me to mend my broken relationships. Make me a vessel of your righteousness, grace, and peace. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen.
My heart and soul and mind, I pray to you. worship the Lord with me, somebody. Forever we love you. Forever we live to worship you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus.
I live for you. I come to worship you. My heart, my soul, I bring to worship
you. Amen. Praise God. It is now time for our devotional message, which is entitled Step Out in Faith. Amen. And the scripture reading for this devotional message is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, from the New Living Translation. And it says, I did this so you would trust not in human wisdom, but in the power of God. Praise be to God. One of the things that can hinder us from taking hold of God's will is when we have an aversion to taking risks. We prefer to play it safe by gathering as many facts as possible, analyzing our options, and stepping out only when we're reasonably certain of the outcome. We don't want to experience loss or heartache, and we're afraid of looking foolish or incompetent, incurring financial difficulty, or facing physical danger. From a human viewpoint, eliminating uncertainty makes sense. But from God's perspective, calling us to step out from our comfort zones is absolutely necessary to our growth in the Christian life. Of course, from his viewpoint, there is no real uncertainty because he has control over all things. Amen? Is God asking you to step out in faith in some manner that doesn't make sense to you? Remember that your spiritual maturity will be hampered if you refuse to submit to God. The Lord understands your fears and timidity, but he still expects your obedience. So therefore, step out in faith and watch what he does to grow your relationship with him. Certainly, he will never let you down. Amen. To God be the glory. Jesus, even when I don't understand, I will obey you, knowing the center of your will is the safest place to be. Amen, amen, and amen. And that is our devotional message for this evening. Step out in faith. Praise be to God. And at this time, I will play a selection and I will come back with a short message from the Lord. Amen. My scripture reading for this evening is coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 11. Amen? And I'm reading from the New Living Translation, Lessons from Israel's Idolatry. I don't want you to forget, dear brothers and sisters, about our ancestors in the wilderness long ago. All of them were guided by a cloud that moved ahead of them, and all of them walked through the sea on dry ground. In the cloud and in the sea, all of them were baptized as followers of Moses. All of them ate the same spiritual food, and all of them drank the same spiritual water, for they drank from the spiritual rock that traveled with them, and that rock was Christ. Yet God was not pleased with them, with most of them, and their bodies were scattered in the wilderness. Verse 6. These things happen as a warning to us so that we would not crave evil things as they did, or worship idols as some of them did. As the scripture says, the people celebrated with feasting and drinking, and they indulged in pagan rivalry. And we must not engage in sexual immorality as some of them did, causing 23,000 of them to die in one day. Nor should we put Christ to the test as some of them did and then died from snake bites. And don't grumble as some of them did and then were destroyed by the angel of death. These things happened to them as examples for us. They were written down to warn us who live at the edge, who live at the end of the age. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. Today's pressures make it easy to ignore or forget the lessons of the past. But Paul cautions us to remember the lessons the Israelites learned about God so we can avoid repeating their errors. The key to remembering is to study the Bible regularly so that these lessons remind us of how God wants us to live. We need not repeat their mistakes. Amen? Praise be to God. Precious Father, thank you for inviting us to this house of prayer and worship tonight, that we might have fellowship with you and fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We come as children whom you have blessed greatly. We thank you and praise you for the abundance of your blessings upon us. Thank you for health and for the opportunity to have an income. We pray your blessings upon these gifts, that they shall bring honor to your name and blessing to others. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. One can learn in many ways. One can learn by study, experience, and observation. The way to learn, as will be discussed in this message, is that of learning from history, events that occur, serve as examples. Amen. My text for this message is coming from 1 Corinthians 10 and 6, and it says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Praise God. And the title of this message, "A Lesson from History." Praise be to God. Question, to whom did these things happen? They were a group of people especially chosen through Abraham. The Lord said to Abraham, "If you will obey me, I will make of you a great nation. I will bless you and protect you." Abraham obeyed, was blessed, and became a lesson in obedience for history. They were a people with a strange history. The descendants of Abraham did not obey their Lord. As a result of disobedience, they drifted from the Lord and became slaves in Egypt. They are a lesson in disobedience. They were a people who experienced a miraculous deliverance. God manifested his presence in a powerful way. His presence was seen through the plagues brought on by Moses, the parting of the waters, and the leadership by the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night. This was a lesson in God's grace. Amen? Question, what did these people do that provoked God's displeasure? In 1 Corinthians 10 and 6, they lusted after evil things. That for which they lusted was inferior morally. As a result, they were overthrown. This is a lesson on priorities. They refused to rejoice over all the good things. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 7, they were idolaters. Idolaters. This is the direct breaking of the first commandment. Exodus 20 and 3. They broke this commandment when they worshiped the golden calf. Adultery is a danger in every life. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 8, they were guilty of fornication. Fornication is the breaking of another one of God's commandments in Exodus 20 and 14. This commandment was broken when they committed whoredom with the daughters of Moab in Numbers 25 and 1. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 9, they tried the Lord. They spoke against God, and serpents were sent for punishment in Numbers 21, 4 through 6. But the Lord manifested his mercy by providing the brass serpent for healing. The Lord is equally as merciful today. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 10, they were guilty of murmuring. This record is found in Numbers 14 and 15. To murmur is to give audible expression to unwarranted dissatisfaction. Back of it is the fact that God is no longer trusted. The Lord dealt with them very severely for this. Question: what can contemporary Christians learn from these lessons? Taking issue with God is a serious matter. Anytime people oppose the will of God, they are losers. God's plan is always best. Doing the will of God is the best for individuals and groups. Hebrews 11 has been referred to as faith's hall of fame. It gives good examples, examples of people doing God's will. The Lord's presence is with each believer today. There has never been a time in history when God was not with his people. Amen. When God was not with his people. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say, you are urged to study the Word of God and learn from his history the things that are profitable and non-profitable in your relationship with God. I pray that this message was a blessing to you as it was to me. Amen. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is repeat this prayer after me. Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and hears my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And all you have to do is to ask the Holy Spirit to guide you to a good Bible teaching church. Amen? To further your walk with Christ. My benediction for this message is coming from Jude 24 and 25, and it says, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I will play a selection while we are waiting on our speaker for this evening. Amen. Praise be to God. Jacob, you are the great and mighty God, and yet you are also a personal God who identifies with mere humans like Jacob. I praise you because you are awesome and because you are able to answer my prayers and the prayers of all who seek you. In the early century of history, you attach yourself to the Israelites people as their God. Yet, through Jesus Christ, you are my God, and you have often blessed the land where I live because of your goodness. I honor you for honoring those who seek and serve you. In Jesus' name, Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. And now we're going to get ready to go into our lesson for this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. And our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins is going to come and conduct our lesson this evening. So we are going to welcome her with a hand clap praise. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you, First Lady. How are you this evening?
No.
So you have to get.
I'm fine. How are you?
Blessed. Thank you.
That you could wear.
Thank you.
That won't bother you.
Okay. Praise be to God. So good to be here another Wednesday. Thank you, God. So let's open up in prayer. Dear God, we just love you, Lord God. We magnify your name, Lord God, because you are so worthy. You are worthy, Lord God, of all the praise, and you're worthy, Lord God, of all the glory. Lord God, we ask you to help us through this lesson, Lord God. Make everything, Lord God, that we say and do that clear, Lord God, and concise, Lord God, and pleasing to your ear, Lord God. Lord God, we ask you to forgive us, each and every one of us, for our sins of commission and omission, Lord God, and help us to remember to always be guided by the Holy Spirit in everything that we do and everything that we say, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, Lord God, because without the Holy Spirit, Lord God, we are totally lost in this world. Mm-hmm. But the guidance of your Holy Spirit just gives us all of the fruits of the Spirit, Lord God. So we thank you for the joy, the peace, the love, Lord God, that comes from the Holy Spirit and nowhere else. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Beautiful prayer.
I'm back. Okay. So we're in the book. Oh, God, it's been so long. I've been asking for so long. Are we in the book of Luke?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we're at Christ in Luke.
Okay, good. All right. Christ in Luke. Yep. Mm-hmm. So the humanity and compassion of Jesus are repeatedly stressed in Luke's gospel. Luke gives the most complete account of Christ's ancestry, birth, and development. He is the ideal son of man who identifies with the sorrow and plight of sinful men in order to carry our sorrows and offer us the priceless gift of salvation. Jesus alone fulfills the Greek ideal of human perfection. So, yeah. I think I had, I read a, oh God, it was like a thing that I saw, and it was like a quote, mm-hmm. and it says something like, Jesus became like us so that we can become like him. Something
yes.
like that.
Yes.
I thought it was so beautiful and so concise to the point. So the contribution to the Bible. Luke is the longest book of the New Testament in the most comprehensive and precise, and is the most comprehensive of and precise of the Gospels. Mm-hmm. So it is the most comprehensive, meaning that it includes but it includes a lot. And just like it said, the Christ in it, he focuses on Christ's ancestry. He goes to Christ's birth, and he deals with the development of Jesus Christ, you know. So this is what makes it comprehensive, because he sees overall picture of Christ. More in his gospel than any of the other gospels.
Yes.
The combined books, and you know, the combined books of Luke and Acts constitute 28% of the New Testament, making Luke the most prolific of its contributors. 2,138 verses.
Wow.
From Luke, and but Paul wrote 2,033. So Luke did about 108 more verses than Paul. So not only was this gospel carefully recorded and documented, but it was also written in the most refined Greek in the New Testament. Only the epistle to the Hebrew is comparable. Luke's large vocabulary and great breadth of expression and construction gives his work a literary richness and beauty that make his gospel the favorite of many.
Wow.
Luke alone contains the four beautiful hymns, commonly known as the Magnificat of Mary, and that's Mary's those verses 1:46-56. Yes, that was beautiful. Could you get that?
Yes. That's
46 to 55.
Here we go. Okay.
I had to memorize this. I don't remember it now, but I had to memorize it for a play I was in. I actually played Mary, and I had to memorize these verses.
Oh.
Yeah. It was so beautiful. I was.
Okay, so Mary's song of praise, many responded. Oh, how my soul praises the Lord. How my spirit rejoiced in God, my salvation. For he took notice of his lowly servant girl. And from now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the mighty one is holy, and he has done great things for me. He shows mercy from generation to generation to all who fear him. His mighty arm has done tremendous things. He has scattered the proud and haughty ones. He has brought down princes from their thrones and exalted the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things and sent the rich away with empty hands. He has helped his servant Israel and remembered to be merciful, for he has made promise to our ancestors, to Abraham and his children forever. Wow.
Amen. Amen. Yes.
Okay.
And the next one is the Benedictus of Zacharias, which I will read that. And then if you can find
God bless.
And the note.
Barbara, how are you? So glad to have you with us. Okay. What you were saying to find what? I'm here. I'm sorry.
Oh, great. I'll give it to Sister Barbara then.
Hi,
good evening.
Good
Good evening, Sister Barbara. We're in the book of Luke.
Oh, okay.
Talk through the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And right now we are in the contribution to the Bible, and we're reading some of Luke's famous they're calling it four beautiful hymns, commonly known as the Magnificat, of Mary, the Benedictus of Zacharias, and the Gloria in Excelsis of the Heavenly Host, and the Nunc Dimittis of Simeon. So I am going to read the Benedictus of Zacharias. If you can take the Nunc, N-U-N-C, of Dimittis of Simeon, and that would be chapter 2, verses 28 through 32.
Luke 2, 28
mm-hmm.
through 32?
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah.
And I'll tell you when to
okay,
read it.
And I have to say that I'm expecting a guest in 30 minutes. I might have to get off for a moment, okay? I'm not sure.
Okay. Oh.
We're just glad you're here.
Yeah.
What happened?
I said, we're just happy that you're here.
I'm happy to be here. Thank you.
Okay, so 67 through 79. I mean, Luke. 67. Okay, here it is. The Zacharias prophecy. Mm-hmm. Then his father, Zechariah, was filled with the Holy Spirit and gave this prophecy. Praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness, as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will be prepared, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. Mm. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of their sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadows of death, and to guide us to the peace, to the path of peace. So we know that that's Zechariah, John the Baptist's father, who says this prophecy. And now the Glory of Excelsis. Hilda, could you get 2:14? It's just one verse.
Okay. 2:14 says, glory to God in the highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased. Amen.
Amen. Mm. And Sister Barbara.
Okay. Luke 2, verses 28 through 32 reads, and mine starts at 25. This is the message. And it ends at 32. In Jerusalem at the time, there was a man, Simeon by name, and a good man, a man who lived in the prayerful expectancy of help for Israel. And the Holy Spirit was on him. The Holy Spirit had shown him that he would see the Messiah of God before he died. Led by the Spirit, he entered the temple. As the parents of the child Jesus brought him to carry out the rituals of the law, Simeon took him into his arms and blessed God. God, you can now release your servant. Release me in peace as you promised. With my own eyes, I've seen your salvation. It's now out in the open for everyone to see, a God revealing light to the non-Jewish nations and of glory for your people, Israel. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, so that's considered, you know, the four beautiful hymns of that's contained in the book of Luke. So Luke's strong interest in people is evident from his portraits of Zacharias, the Good Samaritan, the prodigal son, the repentant tax gatherer, Zacchaeus, and the two disciples on the Emmaus Road. He also gives a special place to women: Elizabeth, Mary, Anna, Martha, Mary of Bethany,
mm-hmm.
and children.
Mm-hmm.
The children, the childhood of John and Jesus. Other themes that are developed in Luke include prayer, the work of the Holy Spirit, poverty and wealth, medical topics, praise and thanksgiving, and domestic life. Luke's gospel shows the universality of the Christian message, describing the Son of Man as the Savior for all men, Jew, Samaritan, Gentile, poor and rich, respectable and despised, publicans and religious leaders.
Amen.
Any comments about that?
No.
Okay. I mean,
well,
I think that, you know,
he was no respecter of person, so he wasn't prejudiced against anyone, even though he was sent for the Jews. But because they did not want to, let's say, follow him, so he turned to, you know, the Gentiles, and all of those who wanted to follow him. So he wasn't just sent, he was sent for one set of people, but they rejected him, so he added us to the mix.
yeah, exactly. I think we were always in God's plan, though, right? We were
always
in God's plan. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the fact, you know, it also says how, you know, Luke just included his gospel was very comprehensive because he included all of those. You know, the prayers, all the things that we just read about, he made all of that was included in his gospel.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why, you know, the author says that his gospel was the most comprehensive because he just didn't focus on, you know, one thing. And plus, you know, his gospel spread all the way to Acts. So he did a lot of, you know, writing.
Amen.
There.
108
more than Paul. He did 2,138 verses.
Mm-hmm.
Paul's 2,033 verses or something like that.
Yeah.
So he did a lot of the Bible. He wrote a lot of the Bible. Yeah. Okay, so we're up to the survey of Luke. So Luke builds the gospel narrative on the platform of historical reliability. His emphasis on chronological and historical accuracy makes this the most comprehensive of the four Gospels, as we said. This is also the longest and the most literary gospel, and it presents Jesus Christ as the perfect man who came to seek and to save sinful men.
Amen.
This book can be divided into four sections. The first section is the introduction of the Son of Man, and we see that from verses 1:1 to 4:13. Part two is the ministry of the perfect man, the ministry of the Son of Man, and that goes from chapter 4 to chapter 9, verse 50. And then we see the rejection. Part three is the rejection of the Son of Man. And those are chapters 9 through 19. And then finally, the fourth section is the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Son of Man. And now we'll go from chapters 19 to chapters 24. So the introduction to the Son of Man, we're just going to read through it now because we can read this at our leisure, chapter 1 through chapter 4:13. This is a lot for us to read right now, four chapters. So Luke places a strong emphasis on the ancestry, birth, and early years of the perfect man and of his forerunner, John the Baptist. Their infancy stories are intertwined as Luke records their birth announcements, the advents, and the temple presentations. Jesus prepares over 30 years, which is summarized in verse, Hilda, could you get verse 2 and 52?
Okay. Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people. Amen.
Right. So Jesus prepares over 30 years for the public ministry for only 3 years. This ancestry of the Son of... It was only three years. This ancestry... 30 years of preparation, exactly.
That too is, the 3 years amazing, but
It's significant, the 30 years of preparation, right? The ancestry of the Son of Man is traced back to the first man, Adam, and his ministry commences after his baptism and the temptation, right?
That's when he started ministering.
Right. And so now the ministry of the Son of Man goes to chapter 4 to chapter 9. And it says the authority of the Son of Man over every realm is demonstrated in this section. So in this section, chapters 4 to chapter 6, we see the authority of Jesus over every realm. His authority over demons. We see his authority over disease, over nature. What's an example of his, if you read, what's an example of his authority over nature? Did you think of something?
I can think of something when he walked on the water. When he calmed the stormy sea. Mm-hmm. And the disciples thought they were to die. He said, peace be still.
Oh, yes, Sister Barbara. Yes. That is it. Absolutely. That's authority over nature. Also, he tells he has authority over the effects of sin, the authority over tradition, right? I mean, how is that reflected, his authority over tradition?
Well, wasn't that when they were, the Pharisees and them was more concentrating on tradition than what Jesus was teaching about traditions?
Absolutely, absolutely. Can you think of an example where that came into play?
Let's see.
I can think of something.
Okay. Go ahead.
I'll give her another minute.
Tradition was like, oh my God. And I know it, but it's just not coming. It's not coming. Go ahead.
When he healed on the Sabbath day, they were saying, why are you doing that? And he was like, listen, if your ass fell in the ditch, meaning the animal, wouldn't you, take him out of there? So they were like, they need that animal.
They only follow it if it's for their convenience, but it was something that their animal, Jesus knew they would run in for that, but they didn't want him to heal this man because they say it was, because it was traditional. Right, exactly. Thank you, Sister Mark. And all people is presented as a prelude to his diverse ministry, all people, of preaching, healing, and discipling. And we see that in verses 7 through 9.
Chapter 7.
Yeah, chapter 7 through chapter 9. Mm-hmm. And now the third part was the rejection of the Son of Man. So the dual response of cowering belief and growing rejection has already been introduced in the gospel. But from this time forward, the intensity of opposition to the ministry of the Son of Man increases. When the religious leaders accuse him of being demonized, Jesus pronounces a series of divine woes upon them. When did they accuse Jesus of being a demon?
Wasn't it during the time when he was healing people?
Go ahead, talk about
diseases?
It. Talk about it. Wasn't the diseases? Who did he? What did he take out of somebody?
Demons.
Right, and so what did they? So that's the story I want you to tell me about, Hilda, when he released the demon.
Oh,
what did they say?
When he released the demons from the people, and then the Pharisees said that how can they call him? They said he was, a demon because only demons can remove demons from another demon. But he said that they said to him that he was a demon or Satan, but Jesus said, how can Satan, I forgot how they worded it, how can Satan remove demons from, say, I don't know, something like that.
Yeah, it's they said he was a demon, but why would Satan want to remove a demon from a demon? He put him there, so why would he want to take him out? He is the demon himself. Right, so let's see what I want now. So, yeah, so when the religious leaders accuse him of being demonized, Jesus pronounces a series of divine woes upon them. And knowing that he is on his last journey to Jerusalem, Jesus instructs his disciples on a number of practical matters, including prayer, covetousness, faithfulness, repentance, humility, discipleship, evangelism, money, forgiveness, service, thankfulness, and the second advent. And what is the second advent?
Second coming.
I heard two people at the same time. What's the second advent?
Mr. Bob is saying the second coming.
Yes, exactly. It's the second coming. And he told them about salvation.
Mm-hmm.
And what's covetousness?
When you covet your neighbor's
good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Covetousness. And the last part of it is the crucifixion and resurrection of the Son of Man. And this is detailed by Luke verses 19 through 24. So after his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, Jesus encounters the opposition of the priests, the Sadducees, and scribes, and predicts the overthrow of Jerusalem. The Son of Man instructs his disciples for the last time before his betrayal in Gethsemane. The three religious and three civil trials culminating in his crucifixion. The glory and foundation of the Christian message is the historical resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Lord conquers the grave as he has promised and appears on a number of occasions to his disciples before his ascension to the Father. Okay.
So during that time, he was still instructing his disciples before he went to the Father?
When he presented himself to the disciples, the Holy Spirit came upon them, right? So at that time, he was telling them what they need to go. You know, they have to, that's where we get the Great Commission, you know. So he gives them the Great Commission before he ascends to the Father, remember?
Yes.
Okay, so he's always, I hear your question, was he still instructing them when he came back? Yeah, I mean, Jesus is still telling them what it is that they need to do, right? He said, don't do anything until you get the power, and the power was the Holy Spirit, right?
Right.
And then the Great Commission, which is for all of us, you know, to go and make disciples, go and teach to make disciples of all. And that is, that was the continuous instruction. So let's see.
And if I can add,
yes.
We just celebrated Pentecost Sunday this past Sunday.
Absolutely.
Which was a celebration of the 50 days that he was resurrected from the dead and into heaven. So that was from his being crucified and resurrected
last
Sunday.
Yeah.
Is later.
So let's read the last chapter, chapter 24 of Luke. We probably can break it up. You know, if one person gets tired, because it is 53 verses.
24?
Chapter 24.
Start.
Yeah, whoever wants to start. Let's
start. 24. You ready?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Looking, the topic is looking for the living one in a cemetery. At the crack of dawn on Sunday, the women came to the tomb carrying the burial spices they had prepared. They found the entrance stone rolled back from the tomb, so they walked in. But once inside, they couldn't find the body of the Master Jesus. They were puzzled, wondering what to make of this. Then out of nowhere, it seemed two men, light cascading over them, stood there. The women were awestruck and bowed down in worship. The men said, "Why are you looking for the living one in a cemetery? He is not here, but raised up. Remember how he told you when you were still back in Galilee that he had to be handed over to sinners, be killed on a cross, and in 3 days rise up?" Then they remembered Jesus' words. They left the tomb and broke the news of all this to the 11 and the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them kept telling these things to the apostles, but the apostles didn't believe a word of it, thought they were making it all up. But Peter jumped to his feet and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in and saw a few grave clothes. That's all. He walked away puzzled, shaking his head. That's going to stay with you, but I have to get off for a moment, okay?
Okay, okay. I'll continue. That same day, Hello?
Yeah.
That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him.
Mm-hmm.
He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all the things that have happened there the last few days." "What things?" Jesus said. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning. And they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who told them Jesus is alive. Some of the men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the women said." You want to take it there, Hilda?
Yes. Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people, you find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scripture. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have no suffer, would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus told them, "Through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scripture the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing imminence and the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on. But they begged him, 'Stay the night with us, since it is getting late.' So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared."
Oh my God.
They said to him, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There, they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Keep going.
If you feel like it, you can pass it to Barbara again. Okay, but go ahead.
Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them.
"Oh, my God.
Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. "Why are you frightened?" he asked. "Why are your hearts filled with doubt? Look at my hands. Look at my feet. You can see that it's really me. Touch me and make sure that I am not a ghost. Because ghosts don't have bodies, as you see that I do." As he spoke, he showed them his hands and feet. Still, they stood there in disbelief, filled with joy and wonder. Then he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of boiled fish, and he ate it as they watched. Then he said, "When I was with you before, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scripture. And he said, "Yes, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. It was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sin for all who repent. You are the witness of all these things. And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised. But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with the power from heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, last one. Then Jesus led them to Bethany, and lifting his hands to heaven, he blessed them. While he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up to heaven. So they worshiped him and then returned to Jerusalem filled with great joy. And they spent all of their time in the temple praising God. Amen.
Yeah. Amen. 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 So I just want to say that the Great Commission, which is not mentioned in Luke, is in it's in the same last chapter of Matthew, because this, let me just, Matthew from 16. This is sort of like, I'm going to start from Matthew 11 through 20. Could you read that, Sister Barbara?
Chapter 11?
No, chapter 28.
Oh, chapter
11 to the end.
Okay.
Meanwhile, and the topic is risen from the dead. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the bodies had scattered, but a few of them went into the city and told the high priest everything that had happened. They called a meeting of the religious leaders and came up with a plan. Mm. They took a large sum of money and gave it to the soldiers, bribing them to say, his disciples came in the night and stole the body while we were sleeping. They assured them, if the governor hears about your sleeping on duty, we will make sure you don't get blamed. The soldiers took the bribe and did as they were told. That story, cooked up in the Jewish High Council, is still going around. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the 11 disciples were on their way to Galilee, headed for the mountain Jesus had set for their reunion. The moment they saw him, they worshipped him. Some, though, held back, not sure about worship, about risking themselves totally. Jesus, undeterred, went right ahead and gave his charge. God authorized and commanded me to commission you. Go out and train everyone you meet, far and near, in this way of life, marking them by baptism in the threefold name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Then instruct them in the practice of all I have commanded you. I'll be with you as you do this, day after day after day, right up to the end of the age.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And I wanted to say, correction, they were on the road to Emmaus. I know you
Thank
guys
you.
Pronounced something otherwise.
Oh, okay.
Well,
I would say Emmaus. Emmaus.
I said Emmaus.
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 Very good. Okay.
Okay. Wonderful lesson. I enjoyed it. Thank you.
Yeah, just opened up my eyes to really, you know, how detailed Luke is. He can basically cover all the areas. And it says, you know, it's the most comprehensive. So he covered all the areas of Christ's life, which you just don't really realize it when you're reading it. But, yeah. So most of the parables, the parable of the tower, the parable of the kings, the parable of the savorless salt, the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, the parable of the unjust servant, you know, Christ's warning to the Pharisees, Christ's teachers on divorce, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. You know, all of these things are found in Luke. which is a good chapter to go through. So that concludes Luke, and next week we'll go on to
John.
Yeah, and then we'll be finished with the Gospels.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, praise God. So that ends our lesson. Let's pray out. Do I have a volunteer to pray out?
Sister Barbara.
No, you volunteered.
But together, study your word, Father God. But in the meantime, we thank you for waking us up this morning and starting us on our way, giving us the best of the struggle, giving us a mind state on you, Father God, no matter what the circumstances and the situation we encounter in life may be. So we thank you for who you are, for what you've done, for what you're doing, what you're going to do. Lord, we thank you for making us better people as we follow you. We know we're not perfect, but we're striving for perfection. And Father God, if it be thy will, we will reach that. And so we thank you for a wonderful lesson facilitated by Lady Nadine. We thank you for her presence, for her expertise. We thank you for her presence and her expertise. We just thank you, God, and just bless us, and we will be blessed. Keep us, and we will be kept. Forgive us of our sins, those of omission and commission. We thank you for your love, your grace, your mercy, your favor, all your benefits, Father God. And again, if I had 10,000 tongues, I couldn't thank you enough. You're just an awesome God. We love you, Lord. Bless us and bless our families. Forgive us of our sins and bless our enemies too. All these ask in the matchless name of your son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Yes. Praise God. Thank you for that prayer. Praise God. Oh, well, have a blessed week all.
See you
on Sunday. Sister Barbara, you there this Sunday? Because I know you had a few Sundays you wasn't going to.
Yeah, God willing, I'll be there this Sunday. I don't have any known things to do.
How did it go
Sunday?
Yeah. How did it go, Hilda? Because I
it
was
went
in and
great
out.
I mean, we had a little few little nicks and thing, but other than that, it went well.
Was it pre-recorded or
some? It was pre-recorded, and the rest was live.
So it was mixed. Okay. How was the wedding?
So we went food tasting. It's not the wedding yet. It was a food tasting at the venue where she's having the wedding. So yeah, it was fun. I've never did that before, but it was really good. It was me and Atia. And Roy's mother and father and sister. So, we went into the venue, and, you know, they sat us. It's beautiful. The place where the wedding is absolutely beautiful. So they sent us each course. You know, like first they sent us out the appetizers. Mm-hmm. You did about three appetizers. So we tasted and chose which one we liked and which ones we didn't like. Then they sent out the entrees, which was about six different entrees. You know, you tasted it, and then you decided, okay, I like this, but I don't like that, you know. So eventually, you know, we came to a consensus on the food. And then we had the dessert, which was a couple of cakes, which were, all of them were absolutely delicious. Really, really, were really good. So it was a taste of them. Well, we chose what is it called? Dulce.
Oh, forget it.
It's a Spanish.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Thing, but it's the filling, so it's white cake with this Dulce something 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 with the with
okay.
a yellow cake.
What's it?
Right,
Dulce
with whipped cream icing. Huh?
Okay.
Caramel. It's not a Dulce.
It's not
maybe it is, but it's not the three leche.
The three
no,
milk,
I don't like
right?
that. Yeah, no, it's not that. But I think it's Dulce leche or something like that. But it's caramel.
Yeah, that's it.
That's
leche. So good. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
So how many tiers?
How many people she invited?
How many tiers of the cake?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know yet. I didn't know the detail with the tiers of the cake because they only sent, you know, they gave us like, you know, regular cake slices.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah, regular cake slices. So, which was good. It was really, really a nice experience.
Nice.
A really nice experience.
That's nice.
Uh-huh. Cause I went to a wedding and somebody else was telling me the same thing. And the wedding was fabulous. Everything, it was last week, Saturday. The wedding was fabulous. It was at Riverside Church. You know, it was just fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Until the food came.
Oh, no.
That food was terrible. Mm-hmm. I think most people left their food on that. You could look around and see. Most people left the food right there.
Mm.
It was bad. And
where did they serve?
It was supposed to be baked macaroni and cheese. It was a stuffed chicken stuffed with stuffing. They also had some kind of fish, rolled up type of fish with broccoli rabi. And the macaroni and cheese was the worst ever. Everything was so bland. You know, everything was so bland. It's like they didn't use any seasoning at all in anything.
Wow.
And then we got, so you know how you get your little, what do you call it? Your take homes, the little take homes.
Yes.
But their take home is beautiful because they're both, you know, they're musicians, right?
Uh-huh.
And so the take home was this chocolate piano. It was so cute. It was a chocolate piano.
Uh-huh.
With raspberries and blueberries in it, and it was like they had it like in a clear box right in front of you. So the person who made the cake, I know her. She's one of Atiyah's friends. She has her own business, you know, young entrepreneur. She's doing well in her business, and she's really great. So she made this beautiful three-tier cake, you know, beautifully decorated with the colors that they wanted. So they come over. I said, I don't know how they ran out of cake. But they ran out of cake. But they came over to the table and they said, well, you have a choice. You can either have the take home or the cake. I said, the take home or the cake? I got to give up my chocolate piano for the cake? How in my mind I'm thinking, but I didn't, you know, why would one have anything to do with the other? You want to give my chocolate piano to somebody else? Everybody had a chocolate piano, so why am I giving up my chocolate piano?
I wouldn't have given up my piano either.
Well, I said, well, I'm going to keep my piano. I guess I'm going to have no cake. I'm going to give up my chocolate piano.
Mm.
So, but when we were leaving, right, in the lobby, this woman was there cutting up cake. There was plenty of cake. I took a piece of cake to go.
All right.
So I don't know what that was about when the guy said, you can have cake or you can have the chocolate piano. I'm like, that's just so weird. But anyway, and then somebody else told me, well, Roydell's mom was telling me she went to a wedding and the food was terrible. I'm like, so. I don't know what's up with that, but the food that we tasted was good and was very, very good, the taster thing. You know, not unless people change up once the wedding come to get a new chef. You know?
Oh, I hope not. Oh, they keep
the same
one.
Yes, exactly, exactly. All right, guys, let me cook some dinner right now, too.
Yeah,
so have a blessed night.
Too.
Love you both. Okay.
Love you too. Shalom. See you on Sunday.
Bye, Shalom.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Saturday. Are you doing Bible study this Saturday?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh,
yep.
Okay.
Saturday.
All right.
Okay,
see
bye.
You Saturday then. Good night,
okay,
ladies.
Bye.
Love you guys.
Good night, Sister Pop. I love you too.
On that, we are out.